Well, good morning. Morning? No, afternoon. What am I talking about? Good afternoon. Welcome to another daily devotion. It's great to be able to open up God's word, spend some time quietly, seeing what God has to say. If it's your first time tuning in to a daily devotion, it's great to have you with us. And it is our prayer that God himself would nourish you by his word. Well, let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for another week. We thank you for another day. We thank you for your word. We pray that as we spend another week in it, that you would bless it to us, that we would grow and come to know you more. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, we're turning back to the book of Revelation again. If you haven't been with us, we're traveling our way through the back end of the New Testament, and we find ourselves in the book of Revelation now. So if you've got your Bibles, turn with me. We're turning to Revelation chapter 1, and we're looking at verses 9 to 11. John, your brother and partner in the tribulation and the kingdom and the patient endurance that are in Jesus, was on the island called Patmos on account of the word of God and the testimony of Jesus. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and I heard behind me a loud voice like a trumpet saying, write what you see in a book and send it to the seven churches. To Ephesus, and to Smyrna, and to Pergamum, and to Thyatira, and to Sardis, and to Philadelphia, and to Laodicea. Well, John gets to the beginning of the actual content of the book. Up to now, it's really been introductory. We've had greetings from John and from God through John. We've had an introduction to the way to understand the book in the very first couple of verses. And now, in a sense, we get introductory comments as to how the book came about and what situation John was in and who John is and who gave John the authority to speak. And so as John begins to write to the churches, he starts by really a self-designation. He begins by stating who he is. You see, up till now, he really hasn't mentioned himself a whole lot, has he? Normally, you expect it to come pretty early in a letter, but here he doesn't. Right in the very beginning, it just starts with the revelation of Jesus Christ. Verse 4, you get John, but nothing more than that. And so now here, John in verse 9 begins to briefly state just who he is. And it's quite interesting, the way he designates himself, his self-designation is quite interesting. He says, I, John, your brother and partner. And notice how he self-designates himself with the reader. So he doesn't stand off and say, I am the holy apostle writing to you. But he says, no, it's me and you. We're brothers. And this is really important because the book of Revelation is not so much John's thoughts to the church, but he is the mouthpiece through whom Christ is speaking. And therefore, John is, in a sense, saying, I, with you, am sitting under God's word. So you and I are receiving this letter together. So there's that sense in which John is partnering himself with the reader, with us. He's saying this letter is for you and for me. But notice the self-designation. He says, you and I. And then he uses three words, which are like three marks of what it means to be a brother and a partner with John and with all believers of all ages. He says three things. Firstly, we are brother or sister and partner in the tribulation, in suffering, in persecution. Secondly, in the kingdom. Thirdly, in patience endurance. And all three of these are in Christ. So there's three things, tribulation, kingdom, and endurance, and all three of them are in Christ. Now, this is really important because it really sort of highlights for us what it means to be a Christian in the world. You see, in today's age, there are many different ideas of what it means to be a believer. A large portion, unfortunately, of the Christian world believe that to be a Christian means to have an easy life. Means that you'll be healthy, that you'll be successful, that you'll have money, that things will go your ways. Whereas John says, actually, the key marks of being a believer is firstly, you're going to suffer. John says, I too am a sufferer. John bore in his body the reality of what it meant to be a sufferer. We have to remember, this is the same John who in the book of Acts is arrested. It's the same John who in the book of Acts is beaten. This is the same John who in the book of Acts is mistreated. And according to tradition, this is the same John who was boiled alive and then banished to Patmos. And so he writes, not as someone who doesn't know the meaning of what it really means to be a Christian, but he writes as one who has suffered, who has taken part in the tribulation. And it's actually a really good reminder for us at this time as the Western societies, if you're in the West like I am, as Western societies are rejecting the gospel and rejecting Christ and rejecting the church, suffering is coming. And unless God brings about revival and a huge change in our nations, suffering is coming. That is the trajectory of our societies right now. And we actually have to recognize that. And we need to recognize what it means to be a believer in an anti-Christian world. To be a believer is to be a sufferer. But it's not just to be a sufferer. It's to be a part of the kingdom of Christ, which is not of this world. And so this is not our home. This is not our residence. And so John was saying, not only am I a sufferer, but I have a kingdom which is not of this world. My kingdom is in Christ. But also it means to endure the suffering for the sake of the kingdom. And so we face tribulation and we acknowledge we're part of a kingdom which is not here, so we can suffer because we know this is not our home, but we do it with patient endurance. Now, this is a strong word. This is not like a wussy sitting around hoping everything gets better. This is a strong word, holding on and boldly walking in this world, enduring whatever comes to pass in Christ Jesus. And that in Christ Jesus is the important part. This is not some man-made form of suffering. This is not some man-made form of kingdom, nor some man-driven center of endurance. This is all Christ-centered. We suffer for Christ. We are in the kingdom of Christ, and we endure for the hope of Christ. And I think the Western Church is going to have to learn what this means. Maybe not now, maybe not for another 5 years, maybe not 20 years, maybe not until another two generations. But if our societies carry on the way they're going, I think we can expect that this is what's coming. Lord willing, it won't. But we have to be prepared to suffer for the sake of Jesus. And you know, the reality is, we already do. Now, sure, our suffering is not the same as John's. It's not the same as the early church. It's not the same as churches in Asia. But there is a level of suffering which every believer will undergo. Every believer who claims to walk in the kingdom of God and not of this world will be rejected and face tribulation. You should know this if you're a believer. What does it mean when you refuse to follow the world's ways and follow the ways of Christ? Don't your friends hate you for it? Don't people in the world mock you for it, ridicule you for it? I mean, they're all fine and happy for everybody to have their views until you say that the Christian gospel is the only true gospel. Well, things get really angry then, don't they? But not only does John give us this self-designation, which we should also see ourselves as brought into, but he tells us of his situation, doesn't he? He says he was on Patmos. Patmos is really just a tiny little island. Apparently, if you go there today, you'll see basically nothing. It's quite funny, isn't it? You'll see nothing on Patmos. Well, at time of John, you wouldn't have seen anything either. But John saw a whole lot, didn't he? John saw 22 chapters of stuff on Patmos. He saw wonderful truths. But notice what day it was. It's a very, very interesting observation. John says, I was in the Spirit. Now, when he says, I was in the Spirit, don't think in the Spirit like praying in the Spirit and things like that. But rather, think Old Testament imagery. Remember Ezekiel, he's having visions and it says that the Spirit lifts him up. And in the Spirit, he's lifted up and taken places and different things happen. It's that type of a thing. In other words, the Spirit was upon him to enable him to see what he needed to see. But notice the day. I find this fascinating. It says, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. Now, what day is the Lord's day? It's not the Sabbath. Interestingly, by about 1 to 200 AD, the word used for the Lord's day here, because it's not the normal word for Lord that gets used when it talks about the Lord in the Bible, it's a different word. It's a word that ends up becoming the description for Sunday worship, the day when the people of God gather for worship. And so John is, in a sense, saying, on the day of worship, on the day when the people of God were worshipped and I couldn't go to church because I was on Patmos Island, I saw what it was really all about. I saw God. I saw this vision. I heard the voice of God. And I find this just a beautiful reality that even here in Revelation, we see that we see the central theme of worship in the church, and we see the centrality of worship on a Sunday, the importance of it, the place of public worship, the place of corporate worship. Now, it's not explicit, I know, but just undergirding this is this reality that it happened on the Lord's day. And John intentionally tells us that. He doesn't intentionally tell us that for no reason. But he wants us to know that it was at the time of public worship that God came to him and met him. And it's a good reminder for us, isn't it? That we need to be intentional about the Lord's worship on Sunday. But anyway, but notice John's commission. And this is really important. John's commission. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and I heard behind me a loud voice, like a trumpet, saying, write what you see in a book. John does not write this in his own authority. John doesn't decide one day, you know what the church needs? The church needs a really colorful picture of what God is doing in the world. No, he gets up on Sunday morning, on the Lord's day, and Jesus turns up. And he hears a trumpet sound. It's not the sound of a trumpet, but he hears a voice like a trumpet sounding forth with a roaring noise saying, write this down. And interestingly, he doesn't say, write down what I tell you. He will say that, but here he says, write down what you see. Open your eyes, John, and observe what I have to show you and write it down because the church needs to know this. This is of vital importance for the church to know. It's of vital, vital importance that the churches should know what I have to show you. And that's because the church is facing the same reality as John. The churches are struggling to exist in a fallen and broken and persecuted world, in a place covered by darkness and shadow, in a place of misery, in a place of offensiveness, in a place of tribulation. They struggle to be the kingdom, and they struggle to endure. And so God sends this image. Christ shows up to John so that he would write it down and spur us on to faithfulness. You see, that's what this letter is all about. For the Christian church, this letter is all about being spurred on to faithfulness. But for the world, it's something completely different. You see, he says, He says, write this down. And it's a very interesting phrase to use, because if you look through the Old Testament, almost every time God says to a prophet, write this down, it's a message of judgment. And so this letter for us is a letter of encouragement, for faithfulness, spurring us on to endurance. But for the world, it's a message of judgment. And it's a message of judgment which, Lord willing, will spur people to believe in Christ. But it's a message of judgment because it tells the world of what will come to pass. Well, for you and I, the big thing we must do is see and hear as we work through Revelation, that we might hold fast to the confession of faith that we've been given, that we might endure to the end, that we might faithfully suffer for the sake of Jesus Christ, be willing to endure all things because God's kingdom is not of this world. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your love. We thank you for your word. Help us to endure. Thank you for John and this great commissioning, this great message that you gave him. Thank you that we know it comes from you and not just from man. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, thanks so much for tuning in with me again for another day. It's great to be able to be together. I pray that the Lord would be with you, that you'd have a really good day. And I'll look forward to seeing you back here tomorrow for Westminster Wednesday. And if not, I'll see you Thursday for the next section on Revelation. Have a most blessed afternoon.